What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Chipper here like he is every Monday. Chip Skog is with us from the Star Tribune. He'll be with us at the Great Minnesota Get-Together 1 week from today, correct?
I will be there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. On this date in 2009, this date, 2009, where were you?
Well, I was covering the Vikings that year. Mm-hmm. I probably would have been. Were we back at Winter Park? Oh, is this the anniversary?
This is Brett Favre, August 18th.
Oh, my goodness.
We got him.
One of the wildest days of my sports writing career.
Okay, talk about it.
Yeah, so I was on the beat with our good friend, mutual friend, Judd Zolgad, and we had heard in the morning.
What,
I think
what happened to him anyway? Did he?
Yeah, that's right.
I heard he's in Bulgaria or something right now.
He'll never leave the scene.
No, that's correct.
My guess is he's standing on the practice field right now. Right, but no.
Definitely one of our friends.
Yeah, we got word that the will he won't he back and forth ping pong match that we went through for the entire summer.
Yes.
And we thought was over, was not over, in fact. And the fact, and Chad, the last practice that they had in Mankato was terrible that year. Terrible. They couldn't do anything offensively. And we walked off the field, and we were getting Childress at the end of, you know, afterwards, and we're thinking, he's going to absolutely lose his mind. He's going to be so angry about this. And he couldn't have been more upbeat. Like, there was no, we're like, wow, that was weird. You know, we thought he'd be a little more concerned. And then, lo and behold, it was probably 2 days later, whatever it was, we get back up here. The helicopters are flying, and we have the police chase, and there's a guy dressed like a parrot advertising for some company that was standing there. It was bizarre. Even your dad. I'll never forget it. We did a video, and it was just pure chaos out there. Fans storming Childress's car because he had brought Brett Favre there.
That's right.
And Sid does a stand-up, and he says, "I've never seen anything like this in my life." So when Sid says that, that tells you all you need to know.
Yep. I'm trying to remember. The Greg Lewis moment is that maybe early October-ish or
week
something?
Week three.
So that's when he was that early, because I was trying to remember, because that's his first, okay, Brett Favre is really here. Right, don't you think? Because the first they open up in Cleveland, if I remember right, and it's all just Adrian just being a monster, you know.
Right. And Green passes to Percy. It was nothing. We were talking about him being a game manager.
Yes,
with his arm
exactly. And that throw to Lewis in that part of the end zone to win the game, and you're like, "Yep, that guy is here." You know.
Yeah, and I can't. Yeah, I can't remember who the second opponent was, but it was the third game, I'm almost positive. And the first 2 weeks, you know, because he was coming off the shoulder injury, and we were thinking, okay, he's still going to be okay, but it's not, you know.
Right.
We were talking about game manager. And then that throw, I remember walking down to the locker room afterwards, and someone said, "Buckle up, boys."
Yeah.
It's just – you knew it had a chance to be something special because he still had it in his arm. So still my favorite season and favorite team to cover that year of any year covered.
Dave looked it up. Who'd they play in week two?
They were at Detroit for a 27-13 win.
Okay.
That's right.
And then the Lewis game, what was the
– week three.
That was week three. 49ers at home.
49ers. What was the finale of that one? Because that was – were they down by like three or four? Because they needed –
they were down by – well, it must have been down by four. 27-24 was the final.
Yeah, so they needed a TD, not just the – you know. I mean, they just kept getting better. that whole season, you know, that's my first year here, and you're on with me then. You know, that's when you started coming on here. You know, among the things people forget is that weird Chicago game, right, where it's a Monday night late, where at some point during the game, Childress goes to him and says, I'm going to take you out.
Well, it was Carolina.
Carolina. That's right. It's Carolina.
Julius Peppers was on that team, and it was Pete McKinney, and he took him out, and Favre let that out. It was not supposed to be that was supposed to be a private thing. And I remember Tom Powers like basically chased Childress in the locker room or into the shower after he'd done his thing. He's like, hey, wait a second now. You took Favre out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Carolina, a road game there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, okay, they just destroy Dallas, right? Isn't that just looked clinical in that game? And then the game that it's still probably not the Gary Anderson game. At least to me, it's not. I know you weren't here for that one.
Yeah.
But it is still a stunning game, that New Orleans game. Okay, Dave, again, look up the total yardage because the Vikings would dominate the total yardage, but Adrian and the fumbles. It was unbelievable what he was doing. And, of course, 12 guys on the field, the throw across the body. I mean, you know, the weird Lieber call, which looked like a terrible call in overtime.
That changed the rules. That changed the overtime rules. Remember, after that, and Bounty Gate.
Bounty Gate. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. We talked about this game recently, actually, Judd and I. Total yardage, time of possession, everything was so heavily in the Vikings' favors. But you're right, they had the five fumbles. They only lost two of them, I believe it was, but they put the ball on the ground a lot. But there were so many tentacles to that game that – and when you talk to members of that team, coaching staff or players
– yeah.
It is a darn shame that they didn't go on to the Super Bowl because I thought they were the best team. I thought for sure they were going to win it. Best team I've ever covered.
But, and again, give me the yardage and time of possession, Dave.
I'll give you a few of the numbers.
Yeah.
Yards was 475 to 257, Vikings favored. Turnovers, 5-1.
Yeah.
Just the fumbles, Vikings did drop it 6 times, lost 3. The Saints dropped it 3 times, lost 1.
6 times.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Time of possession, Vikings were a shade under 37 minutes. It's incredible.
So I always wrestle with the better team because if you fumble 6 times, are you really the better team? You're not. Because managing possession still matters.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think – yes, you're right. You can say the better team won. The better team, but they didn't take care of the ball, and I just felt like the Vikings were the best team. If they had won that week, I think in heart, you know, we saw Favre afterwards in the locker room. Chad, his ankle looked like the size of a I don't know what. It was so already swollen.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would have played. Did they have 2 weeks off or 1 week between the Super Bowl? I can't remember.
I think it was 2.
I don't know how he had been able to play. He was so beat up, and then, you know, we come to find out the Bounty Gate afterwards. But and you mentioned the Lieber thing. Remember, the NFL changed the rules the next year about overtime, that each team got this possession. Or
was it that New Orleans one, or was it the New Orleans Rams one? Because remember we had
– they changed something in overtime. They tweaked it after that because of that rule. And I can't remember the exact tweak. I don't know if it's each team gets possession or something else, but I know they changed the rule. But,
And the Bounty Gate thing, people can – the head coach, Sean Payton, was out the next year.
Yes.
Right? I mean, to have a coach who can't do it, and then, of course – you have the next season where it seemed like Favre really didn't want to come back.
He didn't want to be there.
He just didn't want to be there. And who was it? Hutchinson, Allen, and Longwell went down there and
brought
him back. Yeah. And it was just early. You realized the magic wasn't there. This guy named Randy Moss came back. Chili would get fired. It was disintegration.
The roof would literally collapse
on
the building.
Yes.
Like, I always tell people, explain 2010, the roof literally caved in. That was our 2010. You couldn't have had two polar opposite seasons in that. In that 09, felt like everything went right until that last game, and then 10, everything went wrong.
Yeah. That's how much I want to talk about the Vikings, because I don't care what happens Saturday. It means absolutely.
You don't care about the backup quarterback?
It means, I mean, yeah, I guess that's the one thing. And it sounds like, I didn't watch the second, it sounds like KOC was entertaining. We know that. That doesn't mean I wouldn't have been entertained if I watched. I didn't watch. They don't have the backup quarterback on the roster, right? Isn't it as simple as that?
I don't think so, no. They're going to have to. My guess is go out inside and get someone. I do think Max Brosmer is going to be number three, but I don't think they have number two on the roster.
Okay, speaking of collapses, the Minnesota Twins next on the docket with Chip when we return here on CCO.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I saw Aaron Gleeman, Chip, tweet this out, where it was a year ago today, 70-53 for your Minnesota Twins. 70-53, and I think that's after they lost, like, the second two games to Cleveland.
Yes.
That is, as someone once told you, total system failure. Total system failure. The sell the club chant. Well, our guy Tim Laudner's on Twins TV, and I'm sure that's not easy for Twins. You got the Hall of Fame. You got Koski. Again, another credit to Aaron Gleeman. He had a great column on Koski. Just reminded how Koski is massively underrated in that group. But I don't know if this weekend was any indication of the reaction of the sale, cancel, because we haven't chatted since then. I think we're just going to see more of it when we get a few more weeks past the announcement, when it's September, when it's school, when that place is going to be a ghost town like Target Field never has been. Never.
Yeah, I was actually packing the car to we had a getaway up north, up at Grand Marais when news broke of this, and I got to be honest with you, the longer it went without them selling, there was a little part of me that thought, you know, maybe this will fall through, but I didn't think that they would, you know, take it off the market and say we want to stay, you know, continue to be owners. Considering how hot the temperature is right now between fan base and this organization. And
they have no idea. They've totally misjudged that.
You think... They have to know, right? I mean,
I don't think so.
You'd have to be. Oh goodness, there's a lack of self awareness. If major lack of self awareness, if not. But you're right. Once school gets back in session and we turn, you know, our complete attention to football and the Vikings and the Gophers, those home crowds are going to be pretty sparse. Because I don't think, even though you know Luke Kuechel and some of the young guys, you know, or
that's just not enough.
That's not enough to draw people to the ballpark. They're going to have some of the smallest crowds they've ever had there.
Rob Manfred making news on the Sunday night ESPN telecast about we might be looking at dramatic realignment if we add two more teams. That gives them 32. So if they want to, they can go to eight divisions with four. And Jim Bowden, who a long time ago ran the Reds and now is, you know, fairly well respected with the Athletic, put out his divisions. And he had the Twins with the Brewers, the White Sox, and the Cubs. And I think almost all Twins observers, media, fans, ownership would say, that sounds like a pretty good division for the Twins to be in.
Yeah, if you could get that where it's some, you know, attractive regional rivalry type things. Yeah, I don't know. You know, with the commissioner, you never know when he says things how much credence to give it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that he floated it publicly. Maybe it's a trial balloon just to kind of see what the reaction would be. But Yeah, I think Twins fans, if you gave them that option as a division, I'd say most of them would probably say sign me up for it.
Yeah, and the Brewers last lost a game. No, they lost yesterday, but it seems like they last lost a game 5 years ago, right? It's just, I think
that story.
Oh, amazing. You know, and I know our guy Sue Ann is trying to compare today and payroll. And again, we both like and respect Jim. Payroll still matters. It still matters quite a bit on screw-ups. And Jim's, you know, painting an optimistic picture on some prospects. I guess I'm buying Walker Jenkins. I got to see. Like, we're talking about a Manuel Rodriguez. He's hurt every other day. I got to see a little bit more, you know? So
yeah, it's both. I mean, you need these prospects to come through, obviously. I mean, if it's not, then if they don't, then it's going to be a moot point. But you also have to supplement the roster with free agents and spend the money in that way too.
Which
and
I
to retain the young guys when the time comes.
Yeah, we talked. I knew you were out, so we talked to Patrick when it came out. And I don't think this is the, and I fear this is when the Polets are going to think, okay, we should sign some people for next year. Not really. Not that because they've dumped so much.
Mm-hmm.
Give Joe Ryan 2 more years. Give Pablo 2 more years. You want to be crazy with Luke Keyshaw and give him one of those 7-year deals? Fine, but like they're not going to be great next year. They would have to sign 4 relief pitchers who are really good and like 2 more guys in the order. When they imploded, get back to me in the offseason of 26 and show me something, because
Yeah.
You know, I hope they don't do, like, Patrick texts me afterwards and goes, last time Terry was getting heat, they signed Ricky Nolasco. You know, don't just sign. That's what I could see him doing next year, forcing Falvey. Well, we'll get the fans off our backs. We'll sign this guy who's 500. Well, that won't change anything with the team, and you're just wasting. You've made the decision now to punt for about a year and a half. So guess what? Play your young guys, retain some other people, get 2 years of high draft choices, and midway through next year, let's see Jenkins and Culpepper and build up some excitement that way.
Well, that doesn't there have to be alignment on the primary focus right now is development.
Yes.
Letting the young guys develop and see what you have before you start figuring out, okay, how close where your window is and all those things and how much money to spend. I mean, you need to let these prospects develop just to see what you have
going forward.
So I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying.
All right, let's finish college football. I want to start with Michigan. Just more coming out of how bad Michigan cheated, right, with the Michigan football situation and, you know, more information and more punishment. I mean, how are they allowed, the Michigan Wolverines, how are they still allowed to retain that title?
Well, that's it. The NCAA, well, part of it is because the NCAA just has no teeth in their enforcement. I mean, what they're doing now is choosing to I think more and more hit them in the wallet, have big fines where they feel like that's, you know, the punishment that they're going to go with versus putting in sanctions now that punish people that had nothing to do with it or may have nothing to do with it years after the fact. And so, but yeah. The fact that they had a big fine and, you know, coaches, or at least, you know, the head coach is no longer here, has a show clause penalty.
He was desirous. Harbaugh was really desirous to go back to college football. It's a better chance I coach in college football Harbaugh, okay, even without
this. They keep the national championship. Yeah. They keep the national. That's just it's because the NCAA enforcement is, they just don't have the teeth anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw 2 rankings. I think it was ESPN, The Athletic. One as the Gophers, it was like this one of those 1 through 134 or something like that. One of the Gophers, 46. One of the Gophers, 44th. What are we? Is not this week, but next week, Buffalo? Or is it?
Yeah, next Thursday.
Right?
20, whatever that is, 6, 8, whatever that
okay,
is.
Okay, so to Chip Scoggins, does that seem about right? And it's such a dart when we just have no idea about the kid quarterback.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of a dart. And not just the quarterback. Chad, they're basically replacing their entire offensive line, their entire receiving core except for one,
yeah,
and some pretty prominent people on defense. So, and that doesn't mean they're going to be worse, but it just, we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns about this team. So PJ, I will say this, talked to PJ a couple times and he's incredibly excited about what he sees in practice and the potential of this team. But until we see it on the field in a game, it's just hard to know what they're going to be.
So to the person, the snarky person, God knows that would never be me, who says, oh, PJ's excited. I'm shocked that PJ is excited. It's a good reminder because they've had really good offensive lines for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just all of a sudden you got a kid quarterback, you have an uncertain offensive line, and you don't have wide receivers. That's a recipe for issues. Now, they don't exactly have Murderer's Row at home this year, do they?
No, and the schedule isn't manageable. I mean, their two toughest games are on the road, and that's Oregon, Ohio State, which I always say,
impossible.
If you're going to play those teams, play them on the road.
Yeah.
I'd rather play them on the road than at
exactly.
home. The schedule is manageable. We say they don't have players. They don't have players that we know of.
Yeah, right.
Some of these players have put up numbers at other schools. It's just, we haven't seen them in the Big Ten. And I will say, I got to watch a little bit of practice. Obviously, Darius Taylor, and they have a couple transfer run backs that look really good. I think they're going to run the ball more effectively than they did last year. And I do like the young quarterback, Drake Lindsey. I mean, he has to show it in the game, but when you look at the physical talent, it's there. It's just, can he process the game in the same way that, Max Brosner did last year? That's what we need to see.
No, not right away. Certainly not. Oh, that's a reminder, Brosner wasn't great early. And then obviously was very, very good. Mm-hmm. I got a feeling, Chip, there's going to be plenty of Mondays we're sitting here early in the season. And we're talking about, because you're right, they do a very good depth of running back. We're talking about they ran the ball 48 times. At least early. Maybe they'll go to the kid quarterback later. But, man, early, I'm going to be shocked if they're not running it a ton.
I think they will. I don't know if they'll go back to what we saw PJB when Mo was here, Ibrahim.
Yeah.
But I think they'll lean on it just so, I don't think they're, last year they threw it 31 times a game. I would be surprised if they did that right off the bat with the young guy, Lindsey. But they do. I think they will run the ball more just to take some of the pressure off his shoulders.
Great stuff as always, sir. Glad you're back. Enjoy the week. And we'll see you 1 week from today at the Minnesota State Fair.
I'll bring corn dogs.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll have them. Chipper, right here. Maybe Chipper this afternoon could go to Stretch Lab. He could bring the missus. I am calling there post-show. I need an appointment. Maybe I'll go there with Q. Maybe I won't go there with Q at all. I'll go in there myself. Maybe I'll reach out to Michelle. She wants to go to Stretch Lab. What is Stretch Lab? It's a place where they are going to help you out. Guaranteed. You could be a yogi. You could be into Pilates. You could be someone who cares about your physical fitness constantly, still having someone for a 50-minute session stretch you out who's trained for months with smart people is going to make you feel better. How about if you're on your couch too much? How about, I do this all the time when I do the spot because I'm sitting too much. How about like a dope like me who sits too much right here in the building and I go in there? And, yeah, by the way, man, is your IT band tight? Or, man, your hamstrings are tight. Yeah, I get that. But when I go there, I walk out better. And the more I go to Stretch Lab, the better I feel. When I want to try to find that club face, which thankfully I found a little bit more this week than most of the summer, Stretch Lab plays a part. You want to run and maybe run a little faster. You want to bike. You want to play pickleball and feel better. No matter the age, no matter the location with a dozen plus in town, they're going to help you out. Don't wait. Look them up online right now. StretchLab.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Among the comments coming in, fetching essential red. Thoughts on your neck?
Those are good thoughts. Those are good words.
Yeah. Fetching. You know, a lot of parts of the human body you can be attracted to.
Sure.
A neck? Can you be attracted to a neck? To me, the neck seems like it's only there on the look side as a detriment.
No, I disagree with that.
You think?
I think someone can have a nice looking neck.
Yeah.
You can certainly have a bad looking neck.
That's what I'm saying. Does your neck, some guys, the big bodybuilders, like the two of us, mm-hmm. big necks.
Yes, out to the shoulders.
Big necks. Is that an attractive neck, the big giant neck?
Only if you're a linebacker.
Yeah. I don't think so. No neck. That's not good.
No, you want a neck.
You know?
Got to have a neck.
The older I get some of these things down here when I look in the mirror and I'm like, what are these lines on the neck?
They're not too prominent yet. You're doing okay.
Yeah. I'm okay. Other thoughts on your neck? Okay. 651-461. Waddle, turkey. 651-461-9226. Give me a word describing your neck. Okay. Gen Z. I think Gen Z sometimes becomes the pincushion too often, right? They get ripped too often. But if this survey is correct, from Resume Templates, a virtual career planning hub, these folks are involved. They deserve the heat. 77% of Gen Zers say, wait for it, they've brought a parent to a job interview when they were job searching.
I'm convinced that nearly every survey or, you know, whatever we hear about, this is the newest thing from Gen Z. You can't believe it's all made up.
Well, don't tell me that, because we're going to talk about it for at least 3 minutes here.
That's fine.
And
it's true.
An alarming 79% of this hapless bunch. Yeah, this is a New York Post story. Admit they once they get their job, their parents continue to communicate with their managers.
No.
Routinely asking for promotions, pay increases, day off benefits, and others. 77% brought a parent to a job interview. Have you heard of one person in your life? I sound like Vern Lundquist. In your life.
Oh!
Who brought a parent to a job interview?
No.
I'm zero.
No. The answer is zero. Well, the answer is probably not zero. I'm sure some goofball has done it. But if you are a hiring manager at any other company, once you see a parent, you're not hiring the Gen Z, correct?
They're out, right?
Yes, immediately.
They have to be out. Have to be out. Interior decorator reveals.
Whoa.
Oh. Pew, 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 pew. Interior decorator reveals 5 ugly things you never should put in your home. Okay, you're upset. This is a Brit. You're blaming a Brit, right?
Oh, no. Not only a Brit, but just the fact that he couldn't have been any more pompous.
First on the list, a TV. Right away, ugly.
Yes.
If you put a TV in, give me a break. How pompous is that? Next, a microwave.
Also ugly. He called it the TV of the kitchen. And by the way, he never watches TV, okay?
Yeah. I moved out of my parents' house when I was 18. I'm 35 now. And all those years, I've never owned a TV. I find they dominate the room. Everybody places their furniture to face that thing. It's an ugly black box. I don't want my house to disturb the flow and the beauty. Okay. Get that stick out of your booty. You know what else bothers this person? Overhead lighting.
Yes. Have an assortment of lamps, Chad. An assortment
overhead
of
lighting. Another one. Unused candles.
Yes, you have to have your candles. You have to burn them right away. Show your guests that they have been used.
Used candles are apparently tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But the unused ones have to stay behind the scenes.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, along with rating your neck, 651-461-9226, along with you to believe, do you believe there's one Gen Z or actually brings a parent to a job interview? What is something that's common in a house, condo, apartment that you think is ugly and that item has to go? That item has to go. Wrong. No, let's go right answers. Let's go right answers.
That's fine.
What do you think that's fairly common that needs to go that you can act as pompous as this 35-year-old? 651-461-9226 on CCO. So Big Cook thinks he is. Like, Jason's normally in here by now.
Yeah, loves to be here, loves to help out, join the show.
Yeah, Dan filling in for Jason.
Can't be bothered.
Don't bother me.
Yeah,
I'll talk when my show starts. That's how Dan feels. On the neck, Gen Z interview, and the pompous person about what's ugly in your house, the topics. This person says, I know someone who brought a parent to their job interview. Doesn't count if it's like for the lemonade stand or something. No. I had a friend whose college nickname was E.T., so you can imagine what his neck looked like.
That's tough.
It's a tough one. Again, I just think you only notice a neck if it's a detriment. Like, at one point have you said, he's got a really good-looking neck? Never.
No, but I think you're right. If it's a detriment, if it's an ugly neck, if you got a lot of the wrinkles going,
yeah.
If you've got a terribly long or terribly short neck, I think giraffes are attracted to the neck.
It's Merton Hanks, right?
Yes.
The former
49er safety. He had the big, long neck.
He had the big, long neck. Dan Cook, anybody else you can think of with a long neck?
Not off the top of my head, no.
See, like with your beard, we don't notice your neck as much.
Yeah, and a lot of the beard is to hide the double chin. So I'm trying to
hide
pieces of the neck. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's hiding the chin, which not is, as much hiding the neck,
well,
right?
I mean, but the double part of the chin is technically neck.
Yeah, one could say the chin is kind of the top end.
I give the chin its own credit. You guys are trying to combine the chin and neck. They don't appreciate
it. Well, it's a connector between the neck and the face.
Yeah, connector's fine, but separate. Gen Z is also responsible for the booming sales of the trapdoor. You know? Do you believe any Gen Zer actually brings their parent to a job interview?
Yes.
I mean, more than one.
I think it's insane, but yes, I do think they do that.
Yeah. Among the items that other people think really downplay the house, toilets in the house, just gross. Another item this goofball said, hanging laundry. Now, that's true. Like, if you go to a house and it's not your house, and you're going there for a party, and there's just laundry hanging around all the time. That
there was a former coworker of ours,
yeah,
who after working out and then coming into work would hang certain items over a door in a certain location.
Well,
in
this building, this person's gone, right?
Yes.
What are we afraid of this person?
No, I just I'm not trying to call anybody out.
Come on, I am. Who?
McKinney.
McKinney would
hang like sweat socks and stuff over the doors in the newsroom to let it dry out.
So I never saw that. You know I would have.
Our former boss, Mick Anselmo, put a stop to that when he saw it.
That's disgusting.
I thought so.
Come on.
I thought so.
Beds in the house. Huge waste of space. The carpeted toilet lid cover. Yeah, we don't need.
No. Or the little carpet that rounds around the base of the toilet.
No. Yeah.
How much disease is on that thing?
Okay. Long neck, Audrey Hepburn. We're going way back in the deep, deep situation.
Well, but isn't that the thing, though? Like, a long neck was once, or maybe even still, with women, is viewed as like a beautiful thing.
Is it still?
I don't know.
Laura, is the long neck viewed as attractive on a female?
I think it is because I have the stubbiest neck in the land, so I have always longed for a long neck.
So you've neck envy for a long neck.
Yes, I have
excellent
neck envy.
Is there anybody in particular whose neck that you've always wanted?
A ballerina's neck is
ballerina.
Beautiful.
Yes.
There you go.
Ballerina. Nose tackle, probably not a good neck.
That's me.
I don't think so. You want to give us one guess? You want to give us one preview?
Preview, we're going to start the show. What's the most important thing your dad ever taught you?
Oh, Very good. Dan is in, along with Lindsay. They'll take you home right here on, I think it's CCO.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.